NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Rick Vavro and Austin Underground. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit, guys. We are 65 days away from kickoff here.
And so I was telling Blake before the show, we need a little countdown. We need a countdown on here. We got to work on that. Agreed.
We'll get Matt, our producer, on that.
Yeah,
stuff there
for sure. Well, guys, let's speaking of countdowns, a lot of Texas fans are counting down the days, the hours until some decisions are made. Three big decisions coming here soon, Jerry. What's the latest?
Yeah, so I think recruiting is really the decision part is kicking into high gear. Bobby and I both have columns on OnTexasFootball.com on that this morning. Look, CJ and I talked about it yesterday on one of the shows. I actually think July is bigger than June. And obviously that's recruiting. That's how it goes, right? So June, the Texas had to get these guys on campus, right? But it seems like July is going to be even bigger than June because last year you had some guys drag out recruitments a little longer. Brandon Baker went into the season. Ryan Wingo went deep into the season. Kobe Black the same. I don't see as much of that in this class. I think these guys are, as of right now, the higher profile, highest profile guys, unless things change, there's a lot of decisions coming in the next month for Texas. And I'll say this, Blake, to your point, in the next 48 hours, three big decisions and a really huge one in this class. Josiah Sharma will announce his decision Friday around 3 p.m. Central time. That's the four-star. I call him four-star plus. I believe he's a top 150 level prospect in the country in my years doing this. He will announce between Alabama and Texas. I think Oregon's third. Washington also got an official visit. But really seems like unless Oregon makes that really last 48, 24-hour run at this point, that Alabama or Texas is where this is heading. I think Texas has a level of confidence in this recruitment. That's a huge one. I mean, 6'4", 315. Rod Babers watched the video last night on Longhorn live stream live when we were doing it. And he walked away very impressed, but Josiah Sharma, one of the top D tackle prospects in the country. And that would kind of get some momentum going for Texas on the defensive side of the ball, I really believe. But that's a big decision. Then before that, 3 hours before, that's an interesting decision. Dijon Lee, the corner out of Mission Viejo, California, another four-star plus guy, considered top 100 kid in the country in the industry, top 50 by a lot of people. Alabama is considered the favorite. That's where all the picks are coming from in our industry. But I can tell Texas fans, Texas is more in that than I gave them credit for. And now maybe they should be. It's University of Texas. But this guy, DeJuan Lee, also visited Georgia and A&M and all the West Coast schools. But I think Texas is in that more than I gave them credit for. I'm always going to be real with people here, and I think that's just the reality. And can they overtake Alabama in the last 24 hours? I don't know about that. But, you know, they got him in on the midweek visit. He didn't have Texas in his top four when he made that visit. He had a final five, but not in that top four he released. But I think Texas has ascended past a couple other teams that were in that final four. And we'll see what happens. I think Alabama's the favorite for a reason, but this is recruiting, Bobby. And then on Saturday, Aiden Anding, the four-star on Texas football, four-star defensive back, cornerback out of Ruston High there on I-20 in Louisiana, will announce his decision. I think there's a lot of confidence on the Texas side with Miami swinging and Arkansas and TCU, the other schools that got official visits. But I think that decision, another one for Texas, a big one, because I just think he's a really good football player who's underrated nationally because he hasn't been on the scene as much coming from basketball then back to football as a junior. He's a guy that will rise in the rankings as his senior year if people are actually doing their job.
Hey, Jerry, I'm looking at this list. So Sharma and Lee tomorrow. We just talked about those two, right? Smith Orogbo is the next guy I have down for a definitive date, although yeah. Aiden Anding will happen over the weekend or on Friday. So Anding doesn't have a definitive date, but it's sooner than the July 1st deadline, right? So
yes.
Lee Sharma, Lee tomorrow at noon Central.
Yeah.
You know, then Sharma at 3 o'clock Central, I believe.
Yeah.
We'll double check on those time frames, but you guys get the idea. Then Anding either Friday or Saturday, we believe.
Likely Saturday.
Yep. And then Smith Orogbo on July 1st.
Yeah.
So that's four. And then we have other guys that we know are involved somewhere and thinking about cutting it off sooner. Nathan Tillman.
Yep.
Out of Mansfield, Denverview High School. Jonathan Cunningham out of North Crowley. We do have some other dates. For example, Cade Phillips is July 6th. Marco Jones, July 2nd. Nick Townsend and Tanook Hines, the 10th. So there's just a ton of guys. We don't know when exactly all of these defensive linemen are going to – all these other defensive linemen, DJ Sanders out of Belleville, Brandon Brown out of Ogallala, Florida, and Myron Charles out of Port Charlotte, Florida. Well, so we have some, but we don't have them all mixed in right now and should be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. And Smith Orogbo, little update there. I think Texas has at least a 50-50 shot there. And I know that makes Bobby Burton happy because that's one of his favorite tapes and prospects in this 25 cycle for Texas. His upside's pretty high.
He plays violently, Jerry. And that's the reality of it. When a guy plays violent at that level and is still growing, he's got a hell of a chance.
Yep, no doubt.
A hell of a chance.
All right, Blake, it's time. We have a lot of Aggie tears and A&M talk. This is actually crazy that recruiting may be set falling to number two here for about a 72, 96-hour kind of time frame here. But Jim Schlossnagel announced as a Texas head coach yesterday. Yep. There's a lot of fighting Texas Aggies that are fighting Texas Aggie mad still. And that's before guys in the portal actually head to Texas. I'm not saying all of them are because that's not realistic. But it'll only take two or three.
How many went in the portal yesterday, Blake? How many went in the portal?
I think I know of at least eight. I do believe that number is now at nine, but I think that ninth one is – I don't know why he went into the portal if this is the case, but going to enter the draft. Yeah. But at least eight for sure, and we'll see what happens.
Are you that – who are some of the key names? We know that Texas took – that Jim Schlossnagel took the entire staff,
right? Yeah.
From A&M, who are some of the key names in the portal that entered, if you don't mind, and tell Texas fans a little bit about them?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to put it up here because I tweeted it out yesterday, if you'll bear with me here. And so It started yesterday morning, and I'm going to butcher some of these names because I'm terrible at pronouncing a couple of them. But Jace LaViolette, I guess. I'm going to butcher that one. Gavin.
Hey, Blake, that's supposed to be an LSU-Texas battle, right?
I believe that is going to be the case. And then I've heard good things regarding Gavin Grahovac.
He hit 23 homers last year, big time player.
Caden Kent, Jack Bell, Max Cofer. He's actually their catcher. I'm kind of interested to see if Schloss will go after him because Texas, in my opinion, needs some catching help. I don't know who's all in the portal at catcher to see if maybe he's that guy. I don't know. And then Hayden Schott, Caden Sorrell, and then Jet Johnson.
And a couple of things there. Caden Kent, son of Jeff Kent, went to Lake Travis. Caden Sorrell, really good freshman at A&M, hit 11, 12 homers. Blake, I think that's a guy that we expect Texas to pursue.
Yeah, you would definitely think so. And Texas obviously is going to need some portal help. Some other baseball news that came out yesterday, guys, that we reported on TexasFootball.com is that Tulo, Troy Tulitzky, will not be joining the coaching staff as originally planned. We originally thought that he was going to be in some role, some capacity on that coaching staff, but that is no longer the case. So that kind of sucks, but it is what it is. And I think he'll stay in Austin. I think it's just, he's not going to be coaching for a little bit.
I want to say this. A lot of people have said that probably the macro picture of this is that a lot of people have belabored the fact that Texas NIL wasn't activated as well in baseball previously. And that's one of the things that was hurting David Pierce and his staff. I'm here to tell you that based on the conversations I've had, that is now not even close to being true. So Jim Schlossnagel going to have the ability to go after and get whoever he can, the best in the position and at their positions across the country. Texas is ready to go into the SEC with the right coach and hopefully with the right players as well. So good stuff there. Hey, yeah, I want to say thank you to our sponsor each and every Thursday morning live stream and Coffee and Football, brought to you by our friend Rick Vavro. Since 2004, Austin Underground has specialized in difficult underground commercial installations. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider just too risky. Rick Vavro and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work each and every time. That's Austin Underground. We appreciate them very, very much.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
A couple other things on baseball. This one, Cinco de Mayo. That's right. We're just talking about guys hitting the portal that were at Texas A&M. Obviously, guys that signed with Texas A&M, Blake, that could come into play soon as well. Yeah. And then there was a comment up here I wanted to hit on. John B. Said A&M players probably going to the portal, probably a defensive move until a new A&M coach's name. What do you think about that, Blake? I don't know. A lot of these guys are going to school for a coach as much as they are a team in baseball.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's a huge part of the puzzle. And I've seen a lot of, I'm just going to say, a lot of delusional A&M fans on social media saying that they're going to go out and get, you know, these huge names. And that's not what I'm hearing at all. The couple, two or three names I've heard, I think a lot of A&M fans may riot just because their expectations are so high, you know. But no, I to your original point, I do not believe that to be the case.
Corey J. also asked about Jonah Williams, Galveston ball in Texas baseball roster next year. We'll have to see. There's increased. I spoke with Jonah a few hours before that the news actually went public on Schloss. Jonah was out in Atlanta playing in a baseball tournament, and we'll see what happens there. There's increased communication with Texas once again, but we'll have to see where the dust settles on that. I mean, there's a lot that comes with that recruitment, so it'll be interesting. I mean, and when I say a lot that comes with that, Jonah wants to be a safety. Is that really what he is long term? That's always been the question for the schools recruiting him. Then there's the baseball component of that. How many guys are actually seriously be able to pull that off if you're at a football school, the level of Texas, right? Where the talent level coming into the program is that level, on that level. So there's a lot that goes into that recruitment. Then you have a Major League Baseball draft with him too. So that's a loaded recruitment of sorts, and I think a difficult one to navigate through, just my opinion.
Hey, and speaking of recruiting, guys, we actually have a question regarding this, but let me bring it up here. Yesterday, Coach Blake Gideon put this out, and the question that we have is from E. Kim, and he says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Jerry, any messages from Gideon Sweet? Guess it could be a big one or two.
I think Blake was probably watching a Weather Channel last night, and yeah, they saw it was hurricane season. He likes tropical storms.
He's recruiting a couple different hurricanes, by the way.
Yeah.
Good stuff there, Gary. Hey guys, I want to tell you all a little bit. You got a second now, Blake, for me to go forward with this. Yeah. Sunday is the big SEC send-off, or actually welcome to the SEC party over on the South Mall. It's in between 21st Street and the main building, so the tower. The whole area is going to be blocked off. There's going to be tons of stuff going on. It really starts, if you're thinking about taking your kid out there or wanting to go see it yourself, it really starts around 2:00 on Sunday afternoon. And then the whole real shindig gets going around 8:30. But I think that's going to be a little bit more for the young ones if you want to go see Pitbull and that sort of stuff. So feel free to do that. But Paul Feinbaum will be out there. Some other ESPN personalities will be hosting live shows, et cetera. Jerry and I will be out there for a little bit. We'll be going and checking things out, bringing you guys some news and notes from the event as well. But it's going to be a fun time. Chris Del Conte and his staff have set it up again. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, will be there as well. He'll have opening remarks, I believe, around 8:30. On Sunday night. So, go out and have some fun. Come see. Jerry and I will be out there. I think we're going to be out there till 5 or 6 that afternoon. Then try to get ready for the 7:00 live stream ourselves. So it should be a lot of fun. Bring the family, have some fun, enjoy your new conference brethren in the SEC.
Yeah. And to add to that, CJ Vogel will be out there as well. Rod Babers may. I also want to point this out. CJ Vogel at the Manning Passing Academy, which the media session is today. All the college guys will throw tomorrow, and the high school campers will throw tomorrow. But CJ will be reporting from Manning Passing Academy. I'm very excited for him that he gets to go down there to Manning Passing Academy. It is a great event. What makes it a great event? Well, obviously, the Mannings know how to put on a great event, but it's one of the rare times you get to watch a Quinn Ewers, a Carson Beck, Brady Cook, Dylan Gabriel, Jalen Milrow, Jackson Dart all work through the same drills in succession. Arch Manning is supposed to work out as well. So it's a great chance to look at those quarterbacks and kind of judge them with your eye, quickest feet, quickest release, all the things you kind of look at with quarterbacks in a throwing against air type of situation. But physically, too, see how those guys are. CJ will be reporting from there. Again, the media session at Manning Passing Academy is today, and the college guys will throw on Friday.
Okay, guys.
Archmania, that is, we did find out last night that CJ's name, it's Clay Jordan. So Rod and I got that out of CJ last night. So Archmania said Clay Jordan representing.
Good stuff. Well, and some comments about last night's show that I've seen in the chat. I put a couple of them up, but a lot of people liked what y'all were doing last night for sure. So. Hey, guys, one thing that we wanted to talk about yesterday that we didn't get to is, earlier in the week, we had Greg Tepper on from Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And Tepper actually did some research, and it's in this year's edition of that magazine. But he went through and basically broke down each recruiting position by state and how many came out of the state of Texas, so on and so forth. So let's talk about that now. I'm going to put this graphic up here on the screen. And we'll just start here at the top, and it's signees by state. As you can see, California put out the most athletes, Texas and Florida the most corners. Texas put out the most defensive lines. I think that's Missouri and Florida put out the most, or I'm sorry, Georgia and Florida put out the most edges. Texas put out the most inside offensive linemen. Louisiana, Texas, and Florida the most kicker. Linebacker came from Florida. Long snappers came from Arkansas and Florida. Offensive tackles, the most came from Texas. Punters, Australia, fellas.
Of course.
Running back, Texas. Safety, Texas. Tight end, Georgia. And wide receiver, Texas. But looking at that list, looking how many number of signees we have up on there, what immediately pops out to you guys?
I mean, for the numbers, it's population, right? Texas, California, Georgia, Florida. Those are the four dominant states at this point in high school football recruiting. What it does, Bobby, is it sends off anger signals. Texas should never have been bad on the offensive line. This state produces too many offensive linemen. There are some positions, interior D-line, maybe linebacker that the state's hit or miss on. I think there's a spread football becoming so popular amongst Texas high school coaches a few years ago. I think that kind of changed how kids are positioned in high school football in Texas. But there is never an excuse. And I'll throw A&M in there too, for Texas or Texas A&M to not be competent to good to very good on the offensive line. And it also tells you, again, if you're going to go recruit the big, best defensive lineman, you're in some national battles headed east.
I think that what I see here, Jerry, is twofold. One, the popularity of football and the vast number of athletes the state of Texas has is meaningful, and that's why they're at the top of those lists. It doesn't – the problem with that graph, it doesn't tell you about the elite players. It was total number of players.
Right.
So the guy that's the wide receiver going to, I don't know, San Jose State is equal to the wide receiver going to Texas.
Right.
And we all know that's not necessarily true. Right. So that's number one. But it does tell you the popularity and the vast volume of players from the state of Texas that goes. The second piece is this, and you hit on it a little bit. And Blake, if you put that list back up, I want to show people this one thing. Every single offensive position is Texas. Every single one. Start with quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line, or interior offensive line, and offensive tackle. All Texas. Okay. Now, Texas has the most of every of that. The only part on defense. The only two positions on defense where Texas was really there defensive line, interior defensive line. And again, that's numbers, not necessarily elite level guys. And then also safety. So think about that corner, linebacker, you know, that those kind of positions a little bit different. I do believe that Texas right now, killing it on the state of Texas, killing it on the offensive side of the football. I'm interested to see what happens on the defensive side of the football in the state of Texas long term.
Yeah,
that's where we see, and frankly, that's where we see Texas going more out of state.
100%. I mean, look, Georgia easily has the most D linemen and linebacker types in the country that are high end kids. It's not even close right now. Florida has a lot of those raw kids with frames that you look at, and that's why so many Florida, if you look, those mid to high three-star guys end up getting drafted out of that state. They're raw. That state's not set up like Texas or Georgia is. So, but Georgia on the defensive line, it's why Kirby's got, I think, probably the best job in college football from a recruiting standpoint, because within 2 hours of his university, there are numbers. You can't take all the defensive linemen and linebackers that are high-end prospects. I mean, a Kevin Wynn is a tremendous prospect. Georgia really didn't have enough room for him in the class. I mean, think about that. He's a guy that Texas or Florida State wanted badly. And Georgia would have to try to find a way to fit him into their class because there's so many D linemen in that state right now when you're as won as many games as they have. But they, again, Bobby, to your point, that was music to the ears of Sarkisian. Offensive guys in the state of Texas, the receiver position, the offensive line position, the tight end position, all those positions. That is great news for Steve Sarkisian, but even though they recruit nationally. But it's also telling California's really fallen off. Now, there's enough high-end prospects that Texas is going after there, but it's also why I think you see that state dropping as far as high school football goes overall. Not the high-end prospects. Those guys are there. But overall in that state dropping when Texas is producing more quarterbacks than California.
Crazy to me is one-third of punter signs came from Australia.
Here's the reality. If it was a four-hour plane flight, it would be 80% of punters.
True.
I want to add that on the punter thing. The punter thing that's also interesting, the average age of those punters, I think, is 22.
Yeah.
And so they're going to get those guys after they've tried to play Australian rules football professionally, yes, and kind of washed out, yet still using their leg. So but let's see what that means. You know, that they're taking older players from Australia instead of 17-year-olds from the States. Yes. That essentially is what that is. So 4 years of building up leg strength, et cetera, that matters. It's not like Australians are all of a sudden, you know, better kickers than guys from the state of Texas or in the USA.
Now, it's interesting. We don't want to get on a punter subject for too long here, but Australian rules football, those are athletic guys at the punting position too. That's the thing. They are playing on the move. They're playing a game on the move. And as athletic as this game has become, even at the college level, and you see the rugby punts, right? You've seen all the changes in punt coverage in the athletes at the punter position. Those guys have a big advantage in that regard. Hey, Blake, we got a super chat we got to get to real quick. We're going back to baseball for this question. Blake, any current from Jack Lala? Thank you very much. Sorry to return to baseball for a moment. Blake, are there any current Longhorns in the portal?
I don't believe that to be the case. I know that Texas did lose, or I guess is about to lose, the signee in Ryan Schwartz. He was the number one player in North Carolina per Perfect Game. He is requesting to be released from his national letter of intent. But other than that, I haven't heard too much. I think right now they're more worried about the kids who may go to the draft. And Schloss said in his press conference yesterday, I think he said it like two or three times, our first order of business is talking to these current players, and, you know, trying to get a feel for this team, what it's going to look like. And so I think that is really what they're wanting to do, is kind of hone in on those guys that could leave for the draft, because Texas has the potential to lose a couple of big-time younger players that are sophomore draft eligible. So we'll see what happens there, but I haven't really heard of anything there outside of Ryan Schwartz being asked to be let out of his.
Hey, Blake, who are two or three names that Texas fans need to be aware of and listening for in that regard, as far as going to the NFL or in the Major League Baseball draft?
Yeah, so I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday, but Jalen Flores to me is going to be your biggest one. And then I'm trying to
what position to give people that don't know baseball, tell them what position they play, et cetera, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to pull the roster here. Give me just a second here. So with Jalen Flores, he kind of did everything for Texas over the past couple of years, anything from being a designated hitter to playing shortstop to third base, first base, a little bit of everything there. The one that a lot of people were worried about, and the name is escaping me for some reason, I'm trying to find it here in my messages, is, oh gosh, oh, Max Ballou. A lot of people were worried about Max leaving. The good news with Max is that he misses the MLB draft cutoff by one day.
No, wow.
So, so that kind of stinks for him, you know, but I mean, that could be a big piece of the puzzle coming back there with Flores. But yeah, a lot of people have been worried about Ballou, but I did find, and look, Todd Lacey saying cannot lose Ballou. I did find out that he is for sure cannot go to the draft. Because of one day, this is the first year that there is a hard cutoff. They used to, they gave you like a 30-day window if you turned to a certain age. This year, it's a hard cutoff, and his birthday falls, I think, the day before, from that hard cutoff. So he will not be going anywhere. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's still kind of early. And then we've had a lot of people asking where Texas is going to be ranked next year. And that kind of falls into the same line, is, you know, way too early to tell. Sure. Because number one, you don't know the portal players that may come or go, and you don't know who's going to, be lost to the draft. So yeah. Stay tuned, I guess, is my answer there.
We got a super chat from Mike Gosnell. Do you see Texas aggressively pursuing 2026 Emmanuel Iheanacho out of Maryland? That's a highly ranked offensive tackle. Mike, you know, I don't know on that. I think it's a really good year in the state of Texas. Again, Texas has offered Iheanacho, but it's a really good year in the state of Texas again. I mean, I they have several offers out, and I think they're in a good position for some of those kids. So it also will depend on how many guys they take, go after in that 26 class on the offensive line, because if this class stretches to six, I think you're looking at four in the next class. And it's probably, if you're looking at four, you're probably looking at three or four from in-state in that class.
So we have, actually, before we get to some next questions, Bobby Burton, if you're ready, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Babbel.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it. Babbel is a language learning app that I've been using now for about a week and a half. I'm on lesson number six. So it's kind of interesting. They allow you to basically download the app, and it gives you a choice of whether or not you want a 5-minute lesson a day, 10-minute lesson, 15-minute lesson. And I've been doing the 5 or 10-minute, whichever one I have on for that day. So it's a really easy way to walk into something that I find very hard. I'm not a fluent speaker of another language. I've always wanted to be able to speak some Spanish. I can't really do it other than I do Spanglish. So I'm trying to do that. Obviously, the best way usually is immersion and going to another country and just learning it there. That's not in the cards for someone like me and for many of you guys. But anyways, my thought on it is this, is if you have a chance to learn something new and want to do that, and language is one of those. And they also have, I think, 50 other languages plus that they have an opportunity to do. You could be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. And here's the kicker. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners. You have to use the code Babbel.com/on Texas. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/on Texas, spelled Babbel.com/on Texas. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah! Crushed it."
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, I'm Ruben. My band and I have a new song. I'm also a tow truck driver. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I get to go home at the end of the day and see my bandmates.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
We got a lot of people speaking Spanish to you, Bobby, in the chat.
¿Qué tal? Muy bien. Buenos dias. I'm getting there. I'm telling you.
Oh, man. Okay, guys. Well, let's move on to some questions here. We got plenty of them, and you got plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And we're going to start at the top here. Antoine says, I'm hearing Cam Williams is down to 345. How likely is it that all starting five offensive linemen depart after this year?
First thing I'd say is he's always kind of in that 345, 355 range these days since the spring, so I think he's made progression there, right? I mean, he could weigh 345 one morning and 351 the next, right? So that's going to fluctuate with him. He's such a large human. But I think that's a really good question, Bobby. If Cam Williams has a really good year one starting in pass protection, I could see him being a one and done guy. Amarius Mims started, what, 8 games at Georgia? Went in the first round. Cam Williams has that type of upside. Then you have DJ Campbell, who pass pro. You know he's strong in the run game. Again, pass pro on the right side is going to be big for the Texas offense this year. That's still a question mark. In the run game, those two guys are going to be tremendous. What are they going to do in tandem and pass pro? And then individually in pass pro, DJ Campbell's got to take a big step there, I think, to be NFL ready and be a draftable grade where he would jump at it because I think he wants to, but you got to go get it done on the field. So I think the pass pro is going to determine that because the run game is going to – those guys are beasts. But what are they going to do this year? How much of a jump does DJ Campbell make? And what does Cam Williams look like? I'm not talking the first 3 games, the last 9-10 games.
Here's my take on the offensive line. So Yes, it's possible Cam Williams could go pro after this year. Of course it is. Yes, he's in that 350 range. He started out his career as 370, 380. And this goes to the point of what we've talked about with development. Kyle Flood is very good at it. So is the Texas strength and conditioning staff. And frankly, Steve Sarkisian is very good at it. It's the rare guy who doesn't take to it that is the outlier, not vice versa. Think about Malik Ogbo. I mean, Malik Ogbo has lost more weight, Jerry, than Cam Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, Malik Ogbo's down to 280 after showing up at 350.
It's a dramatic change when you.
He's a healthier human being today.
Right.
So my point is, it's the rare individual. So that's why, frankly, a Sadir Mitchell sticks out a little bit in that regard right now, in our opinion, or at least in my opinion. But getting back to the offensive line, could all five go pro? I do not think so. Because while Kelvin Banks, we fully expect to go pro, and Jake Majors, we fully expect to go pro. After that, I think it's 50-50 or less for the rest of them. And I doubt seriously that Hayden Connor will be going pro. If Nato or Cole Hudson beat him out. So I think that it's possible four of five do, with great seasons from DJ Campbell and Cameron Williams. But I would put it, I think it's more likely three of five go pro than five of five or even four of five. That would be my take on that.
And then while we're on the subject of offensive line, guys, Living Rent Free in UT says, I'm guessing offensive line depth on the Texas roster is playing a negative factor in Fasusi's recruitment.
I think Oklahoma wants it to, but I think Fasusi based on what I was told, he liked some of the outside football stuff in Norman. I mean, when he was on his visit. So I think that factors in as well. Look, that recruitment will play out a while. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Oklahoma's hoping that they can make that a huge factor in Fasusi's decision ultimately.
And our next question, fellas, comes from Heoli Frioli 93. He says, out of Cedric Baxter and Jaden Blue, which one will have more touches, more rushing yards, and more rushing touchdowns?
Well, I'm in this. Touches is interesting. What an interesting call that is.
This could all come down to health, by the way, but keep going.
Yeah. No, it definitely could. But my point here would be 10 to 15 carries a game for more like 8 to 13 carries for Blue a game.
Agree.
10 to 15 or 10 to 18 for Baxter.
Agree.
But could there be a categorical number difference in receptions, Jerry?
And yards, yeah.
Yeah, and yards, because Blue does have that big play ability. I think that you're on to something a little bit there. I think touches, I would still go with Baxter. Rushing yards, I would go with Baxter. Rushing TDs, I would unequivocally go with Baxter over Blue in that. Not saying that Jaden Blue won't get some. I just think Baxter's more of a every down back inside the 20s. He's a guy that's bigger to pick up pass rush. He's a guy that is more physical as a runner. I think he's that guy inside the 20s.
And that leads me to Bobby. Just a few days ago, you put up a question on the community poll, I guess I should say, on the On Texas Football YouTube channel, asking who will lead the Longhorns in touchdowns scored this year. Your options were Baxter, Blue, Bond, Cook, and Golden. And Baxter, 49% of the vote. Are y'all surprised by that? And who is y'all's answer?
My answer was Cedric Baxter, based on what I just told y'all. That's where I think. And so I think there's wisdom of the crowds at work here. 2,400 people voted on it. I think Baxter, because of what I just said, he's bigger. He's interior. Now, could there be a receiver, Jerry, that has 10-plus receiving touchdowns this year? And if so, is that Bond, Cook, or a bigger-bodied guy like a Matthew Golden? Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, Mitchell had such a big body, and you knew he was going to be a red zone target at some level, right? You could see him getting 8 to 12 touchdowns last year. Xavier Worthy is a touchdown maker, so he's in that category. I don't know if Texas has that type of receiving core yet. And so I went with Baxter overall.
Yeah, I think the thing too is you hope it's Baxter because that means you're running the ball in the red zone better. That means the plan of what Texas wants to do is working. That's kind of one of the big things when people like bring up yards, touchdowns for Quinn. I'm like, look, the less touchdowns Quinn throws probably means the plan is working better for Texas because they want to run the football in the red zone. And they want to score touchdowns running the football and imposing will and leaning on large humans. So that's one of the things that factors in for me. But I do agree with that. Of course, number one caveat's health of all these guys. But if everything's equal, then yeah, I agree with the people on that one.
Todd Lathy says, out of those guys listed, who were the touchdown makers in high school?
Matthew Golden certainly was because he did it in the return game as well. Right. I mean, that always factors in. Matthew Golden's always been a touchdown scorer because of the return game. He was a guy that played so high school different than college. Right. He played wildcat quarterback at Klein Kane. He did a lot of things to put the ball in the end zone for that Klein Kane team. So a lot of it's what you play, what your team needs you to do, how much you're called upon to do that and how important that is to helping a team ultimately win games versus a guy that just plays receiver because he's on an ultra talented team at DeSoto like Jonte Cook. So that's kind of a tough question to answer. But I think of all those guys, Matthew Golden was asked to do more things for Klein Kane, especially his senior year after Jaden Blue did not return to that team. That he was asked to do a lot more for his team to win games.
And before we move on to the next questions, Jerry, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Manscaped.
Oh, man. I mean, y'all have asked if about manscaping live. I mean, if you watch Texags Radio on YouTube yesterday, you saw Manscaped live, okay? But let's talk about Smooth Sack Summer. Ladies plus gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that Smooth Sack Summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you can make this season your smoothest yet. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS. All caps, summertime, and the trimming is made very easy. And you have to have the crop soother on hand, guys. Now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecues. And we're not talking about going to Lincoln Riley's. The crop soother aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-shaping ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Manscaped on Texas, all caps.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it.
Hi, Chihuahua.
Holy schnauzers.
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Good as always. Good as always. All right, guys. A lot of more questions rolling in here, and a lot of them kind of, well, not kind of, but they do have to do with what we were just talking about. And let's start with this one from Brendan. He wants to know what wideout receives the most targets.
Man, that is a great question.
It's Isaiah Bond.
You really think so? You think that more than Cook?
Yeah.
Just because he can maybe – I don't know, Jerry. I keep coming back to that, and I just don't know the answer. And here's why. I mean, I just think they're – Bond can do so much because you got elite speed, but Cook is a little bit more. I think he can get open a little easier. I think Bolden can get open a little easier. Of all the things that intrigue me the most about Texas in 2024, it's the receiving core and how they're going to interplay. That is the one thing I get a feeling of what they're going to do on the offensive line. Even at defensive tackle, Jerry, I get an idea of what they're going to and how they're going to use guys, right? Even though they have so many new faces, I don't know how they're going to mix in at receiver. I'm intrigued because I think they have so many different options.
I think you look at Isaiah Bond and, you know, look, he had 48 receptions at Bama last year with Jalen Milroe, right? And you look at what's around him at Texas, it's very interesting. He's actually left a great program, but he goes into a program that he's actually going to have more around him on offense at skill and a quarterback that can better distribute the ball. So I think Bond will have the most targets this year in receptions. My caveat on that is could a Matthew Golden or Silas Bolden in the short passing game, because Texas has so much speed that Sark's clearing out more this year and getting the ball to guys on the move in the short passing game. That's kind of my caveat there with that. But I think outside of that, it's definitely going to be Bond.
And then our next question, we actually have a couple of super chats. Let's see here. We'll start with this one from Jack. Thank you, as always, Jack. He says, with Bolden and Golden, is the over-under on combined returns for touchdowns 3.5? Which one would you take?
So what did Texas had 3 last year total? I'm going over at 4.
Man.
I'm going over at 4. I think they're going to get 2 kicks and 2 punts this year.
I'm going to go 1. I'll go under. I think 2. I even with what they have, I'll go with 2. So I'm going to go under, Jack. What does the chat think? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, I know that we could be here's a couple things. One, I do expect special teams against to be faster and quicker in the SEC overall. Okay. I do think that Matthew Golden is a better kick returner than Keelan Robinson, even though Keelan Robinson is pretty darn good. Okay. I just don't know. I'm in that category, guys, of I think I want to see it first. And I do believe that even though Silas Bolden is really, really good, I don't know that anybody is as good as Xavier Worthy at punt returns last year in the country. So we'll see. I will add this. Texas is getting better athletes on the field in the punt return game. I think that's going to help too. So there's a little give and take there.
And our next super chat comes from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay. And he says, I was worried about wide receiver rotation this year and its impact on recruits. But in the recent McElroy interview, Sark said he absolutely will play and rotate more wide receivers this year.
Yeah, no, that was Sark was on with Greg McElroy. We had Greg McElroy on here and spoke a little bit about that. But Rod said that Sark's going to expand the circle of trust in his way of saying that. And I totally agree on that. And Sark talked about that in the Greg McElroy interview. And look, everything always has a hint of recruiting with it if you're smart as a coach. I mean, you have to. But I do think that he is going to play more guys this year at wide receiver. He's going to expand that. I think some of that is, look, you're thinking you're playing a longer season if you're at the University of Texas or at a Georgia or Bama or those places that consistently think you're going to be a 12-team playoff. Doesn't mean you are, but that's your thought. If you actually are positive about where you're at. And so I do think that is going to happen. I think it's a combination, though, Bobby. I think, one, building depth if you have a little bit longer season. Two, the depth of the receiver room has taken 10 notches up in the last 2 years, even from last year, the depth. Three, from a recruiting standpoint.
I think it's hard. You got to get – there's a couple guys that are young, one guy in particular that you know is young, but you got to get the dude the ball, and that's Ryan Wingo.
Yeah.
So we can talk about Parker Livingstone and Aaron Butler and those kind of young guys, or even DeAndre Moore and that sort of stuff, being young. And Ryan Wingo's different, okay? I'm here to tell you, he's just a different dude. And so how do you bring him along – when you have Bolden, Golden, as well as Jonte Cook, and even Isaiah Bond? He's going to have to expand the circle of trust. He's going to have to. There's no doubt how he does it. And that's what I'm getting at, Jerry. I mean, look, Ryan Wingo needs 3 to 5 targets a game. I mean, I'm not talking about slants. I'm talking about big-time plays. Because he's different. I mean,
Bobby, to your point,
the very first time, what happened the very first time you and I were at the first practice this spring, first two practices this spring, whatever it was. And I walked out of that first one and I said, that Ryan Wingo's the best wide receiver prospect I've seen at Texas since Roy Williams.
No doubt. Agree.
And I meant it. And now, and I know Xavier Worthy, great player. Adonai Mitchell, really good player as well. But prospect-wise,
right,
size, speed, hands, smoothness, he had it. I mean, there's no doubt. And that proved out. And I'm telling you, even with Jonte Cook's going to be an NFL player, in my opinion. Isaiah Bond, NFL player. Matthew Golden, NFL player. Okay? He's still different, potentially. So he's got to – you got to find ways to get him involved. And that's why I don't know how Sark's going to do that. I truly don't.
You're muted, Blake.
One other super chat, guys. This one from Thomas Anderson. Thank you, Thomas. And he says, with Lockett announcing his commitment date and it seeming like it'll be the first of the big three, does that increase the chances of landing the 3 5-star wide receivers?
Well, so the interesting thing there, Kalik Lockett will announce August 7th. Now, DeCorian Moore could come off the board before then. Last year, what was Colin Simmons, around August 8th, 9th? If I can't remember the exact date I was there, too much has happened. But it's all – and then Jamie French maintains August 30th. But the key there is the kids will know long before then where they're going. They'll tell each other where they're going. There's going to be a known amongst college coaches also where these kids are going. Look, there's one college that thinks the DeCorian and Jamie French are going to end up at Texas. Are they trying to use that to their advantage? Sure. So we'll have to see what happens there. I'm not sure that date has anything to do increases Texas chances. I think the work is done, going to be done well before that. Let's just say that.
All right, and our next question, guys. Well, Jerry, actually, we've had a ton of questions about you and your highs. And so people are asking anything like this one from Arch Mania. How many high commits those week to Jesse asking Jerry, how many highs does Texas still have? And then Jeff wants to know, do the highs we have left bump up the recruiting rankings?
Well, get me on that, Jeff. Been doing this too long, but that's a good try. Yeah, I think there's four guys out there right now. Does that mean all four go public? We'll see. But I think we have four left right now. And I expect that list to increase here coming up. I'll say that. And by the way, Blake, I can't get out. You got to take part in this. You and CJ dropped your first baseball high yesterday, and I loved it. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was awesome.
Thank you.
I guess technically on Texas football has five out there right now.
just one of them in a different sport. That is correct. And I had some people ask me about that, but I can't answer that question. I can't answer their question about this high CJ and I put out without giving away the answer.
I actually wanted to bring this up, and Andy and Lufkin asked the question. Any chances on Arthur Kaluma, our basketball question? And then I've got something very sad to bring up from the NBA draft last night. Extremely sad, which I have to bring up, also I'm not doing my job for Texas fans. Arthur Kaluma is either scheduled to talk to Rodney Terry last night or today. He's getting closer to the decision. That's the Kansas State power forward transfer that was on campus earlier this week. It's going to be Texas or SMU. I think SMU is really giving it their all in this recruitment from an NIL perspective. I think Texas has done a great job illustrating what Arthur could bring to Texas, in a combination with Jason Kent, who I think is going to be a tremendous power forward combo forward at Texas in college basketball, really good basketball player. Caden Shedrick and then Kaluma, those three working and rotating, what could they do? Then you'd have somebody else as the fourth big and some rotational time there. But I think Texas has done a good job laying out the role. Now it's what does Arthur want to do? I will say this, if Arthur were to pick Texas over SMU, SMU has a much bigger NIL package. I think there's some desperation there. But if Arthur were to pick Texas, Texas eight-man rotation, really good. I continue to be told the guards have been really, really good. Trey Johnson, as advertised, looks like a future first-round lottery pick. Now, next year's draft is going to be extremely deep. This year's the weakest NBA draft of all time. But next year's going to be a different story. But then, the guards, Jordan Pope, really good shot maker, shot creator. Julian Larry, true point, great leader. Kendall Weaver, improving. Tremont Mark, him and Trey Johnson, 6'6 guys that can go get their own shot. Pope can go get their own shot. Texas has a lot of guys that can go get their own shot, late clock shot situations. Offense breakdown, defense does a really good job taking you out of your sets. There are high hopes for the backcourt. I'll say that. And then the sad part about last night, if you didn't see the NBA draft, I hate to bring up the sore subject to Chris Beard, but Ron Holland went 5. A.J. Johnson went in the first round, and Eves Misi was about to commit to Texas when all the Beard stuff went down over Baylor last year. He went in the first round too. 3 first rounders. So that was my sad part. All right, moving on. But I have to be real with people. We have to keep it real. 3 first rounders.
Man.
It was a weak draft, but still 3 first round level players.
Yeah, but I will say this. You can't blame anybody for Ron Holland and A.J. Johnson going to the G League. I mean, they took money. And A.J. Johnson said he didn't even want to go. The reason he went wasn't because of the coaches, because he didn't want to go to school.
Right.
I mean, there's a level there.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, though.
Jalen Tyson also got drafted in the first round, who signed with Beard's initial class. But he wasn't mature enough at that period of time. I'm glad he matured and got to where his talent could take him. That one wasn't on Beard or anybody at Texas. That was on the kid.
Okay, we got a lot of more questions, especially regarding Texas offense this upcoming season. And let's start with this one from LL. He says, how are Clark and Gibson looking? You think either of them see the field this year?
I think both will see the field. The question is how much, and I think that's going to depend on injury. Unless one of the two can carve out a special use. And what I mean by that is one of those two, Gibson or Clark, are they the best maybe short yardage back on the team? I doubt it, because you're going to want somebody with more experience. But I see them seeing the field sporadically unless they can carve out a specific niche.
Yeah.
Or niche. Excuse me.
I agree. By the way, UT boy, it's Jonte's world. We got it. We got it. He's gonna have a good strong season at Texas.
And Bobby, this one for you from Troy. He says, does your statement about Wingo being the best wide receiver prospect on campus change when or if DeCorian Moore joins the team?
Need to see him side by side to be able to tell you that. But I mean, look, I don't know that, having seen Texas Roy Williams, come in and do what he did the first practice he was there, and see Ryan Wingo, Roy was a little bit different in that he stood out from everybody. Texas has a deeper wide receiver room now, in my opinion. So Ryan Wingo is not, like, I'm not trying to be rude to some people, but like Roy Williams was an A-plus athletically and physically, and amongst a bunch of guys that were B-minuses and Bs, in my opinion. Okay, when he came in, Ryan Wingo's an A-plus amongst a lot of guys that are B-pluses to As. So it's a little bit different, right? So you don't see that dramatic a difference. I would say that I want to see both of them side by side and how they're practicing at that level. Because the one thing you can't tell, even in a high school practice, how does that person take what he does in high school when it goes up a notch? Is he still the first one in front of line, or is he just a guy in the line? Is he the first guy down the field because he's the fastest, or is he kind of, you know, three-quarter in it? Let's see. I don't know. I will say this. My expectation, based on what I've heard from Jerry, as well as like three or four other guys that I've talked to, that actual recruit players, DeCorian Moore is a freak.
Super freak.
Yeah, so I would wait to see which one I like better after I see them side by side. I don't think Moore is as big as Wingo.
Right.
That would be one thing that would be different. Doesn't mean he's not actually faster.
Oh, he is.
Freaky.
As crazy as that is. Hey, by the way, you brought this up, Blake, but Alfio Randall, Alfio VC, part of the number one recruiting class for Mac Brown. It's time we get Alfio on the show. Alfio, shoot me a DM on social media. Let's get you on the show. Let's talk a little. Let's talk to you. Catch up. UT boy, yes, DeCorian is a freak. You got to start using the term super freak, though. Super freak.
Oh, man. All right, guys. David Rawls says, over under on Colin Simmons sacks. He's going to set it at 6. What y'all got?
I was hoping he'd set it at 5.5 because I was going to take the over to 6.
I'm going to go 4 or 5. I'll take the under.
Mm.
Good player. I think that you, Jerry, I may be wrong, but whether it's Trey Moore, Ethan Burke, Colton Vosick, it's not that I don't think Colin Simmons couldn't do that. I'm trying to figure out where all the snaps come from.
Yeah. So my take, and my take with all those numbers, is it's kind of a loaded question. And the reason I go 6 is, you know, you have Colorado State, UTSA, and ULM Monroe, 3 of your first 4 games. He could put up 5 sacks in those games, and he's going to get the 6. Because you could get 2 in the fourth quarter against UL Monroe. So it's then when you get, like, in SEC play, if he's at 2 sacks going into SEC play, is he going to get 4? That, to me, is a different question.
That's true. I mean, that's like Harold Perkins getting 4 in one game.
Right.
I mean, that skews the whole number for the whole year.
I do think he's going to get 6, though, because I think he is going to be an absolute nightmare in the fourth quarter for and not that he's not going to play before that. Let's just say the third and fourth quarter for Colorado State, UTSA, and UL Monroe. I think after those guys, those offensive linemen go against Sorrell and Burke and Trey Moore, and then they're going to bring in this guy who's all twitched up and ready to celebrate a big plays. And I think those OLs are in deep. Whew.
Okay, guys, before we move on to the last few questions of today, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Austin Underground?
Yeah, absolutely can, Blake. Thanks for the opportunity. Since 2004, Austin Underground has specialized in difficult underground commercial installations. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider just too risky. Rick Vavro and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work each and every time. That's Austin Underground. Rick also owns and operates Texas Road. If you are looking for any asphalt done in large quantities, whether it's subdivision, et cetera, make sure you reach out to Rick and his team at texasroad.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
ugh, just my luck.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm getting married today. I'm also a firefighter and first responder. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can make it to my ceremony to start the next chapter of my life.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
And as I said, we got time for just a couple more.
That made me laugh. Good job, Sonny V.
Brendan wants to know, do you think we'll see Trey Owens in a game this year due to absolute beatdowns?
How many times did we see a third string quarterback last year? I mean, how many times did we see Arch before Malik Murphy transferred? Or no, not even before Malik. We saw Arch twice last year. Is that right? I don't know. I bet we see him once or twice, but he won't burn his red shirt unless there's been severe injuries.
Yeah.
And that's that for those people unaware, used to be one snap, you burned your red shirt. For about the last 10 years now, it's been, you play four games or 5 years, I guess it's been. You play in four games before you lose your red shirt.
I got to bring something up here. Yeah. Dress Vlogs. I bet I can beat Jerry in a game of horse. Good to know that Steph Curry's in the chat. Thanks, Steph. I'll enjoy watching you play.
And Zachary wants to know, how has Brandon Baker been coming along? Have you heard anything on him?
Yeah, I think Baker's had a great spring. Texas really likes where he's at. They really like Brandon Baker's future at Texas. I don't think there's much concern about Brandon Baker at all. All positives there.
I would say
you have to do it on the field in games, but all positives at this point, Bobby.
Echoing what Jerry said, I heard the same thing. Maybe a little advanced for his age from a technique perspective as well. Slightly over some of his cohorts in that previous offense or in that offensive line class.
And for our final question of today, guys, I know we've kind of touched on it here a little bit, but we've talked about wide receivers quite a bit And Mark says, any reports with Quinn's offseason work with the new receiving group? Quinn has the keys. Has he gotten consistent work in with those wide receivers? What have y'all heard on Quinn Ewers?
I think, he's getting work in with those guys. Really starting to build. You know, I think Silas Bolden's one that you're really working with this summer since he wasn't in for the spring, but kind of continuing to build that rapport, getting those reps. And that's Quinn and Arch, right? I mean, you got to get everybody prepared. But I think Silas Bolden, the push is there this summer to really get a lot of reps in with him since he wasn't in for the spring. Because there is timing. There is – look, and Silas is a smaller guy. That's a different catch radius and a different window you go into. So there's a major push there this summer. But, yeah, he's getting in his reps with those guys daily basis.
I've heard Matthew Golden and Quinn have developed a little bit of a relationship too. That's been pretty positive. So of the guys, let's just keep an eye on that one.
Good stuff. And I lied. We have one more question because the super chat came in, guys. Corey B. Thank you, Corey, for the generous super chat. He says, good morning, guys. Do y'all think some of the recruiting in the South, the prospects not bought into Kenny Baker, or maybe he feels unproven compared to other defensive line coaches? It seems like this is a tough hill to climb.
Yeah. So me personally, I don't buy into that one. I just think these are just brutally tough recruitments is what it is. I mean, and you, all these recruitments, you're going up against Georgia, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, Florida State, Miami. I mean, these
Oklahoma,
A&M. These are Oregon is trying to recruit all these guys. These are just really difficult recruitments. And that's why I think in the Southeast, outside of quarterback, they're the most important recruitments because they are true bloodbath recruitments. And so I don't buy into that. Kenny Baker came from the NFL. Where do all these guys want to go? NFL. And now the guys who have coached in college 30 years may say, well, I've got the resume of this. And they do have that resume, right? But I don't think that's hurt Texas. I think there's two things. One, those are true bloodbath recruitments in the Southeast. And when you're going against these guys nationally for the most coveted positions, especially that one in the Southeast. And two, look, I mean – the programs you're going up against for those guys, you're going up against Alabama. I don't care if they change coaches or not. What's Alabama been the last 15 years? What's Georgia? What's Ohio State? I mean, so Texas is still on the build. One season doesn't mean guys are flocking to you. There's still work to be done.
But the expectations and value proposition has been raised.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, like, look, Texas is playing in a different – they're playing in a little bit different sandbox now than they were even a year ago, and they're going to continue to rise, in my opinion. Wait till next season as well. I just think that they're a year away from being one of the hot schools in college football. I really believe that. 2 years in a row is something that could be sustained success. It's going to be different. But as of right now, I also think that Texas, when it comes to these recruits, to Jerry's point, they're difficult recruitments. Texas is in the top two or top three for every single one of them.
Yeah, they're right there.
Not making hay. They just got to close the deal, which is the bigger piece of all.
And I mean, look, guys, I mean, NIL's big in these too. I mean, it's not just about – look, it's not just about the coach and his resume or anything like that. That we're way beyond that stuff in college football recruiting at this point. So and that goes for any of these guys. That's just reality.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Rick Vavro and Austin Underground. We want to thank them along with Babbel and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. The great questions, the super chats. If you haven't already, please hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we post a video, go live, whatever it may be. But just remember, we can't be on here all the time. So head on over to ontexasfootball.com. If you haven't already, you can become a member using promo code OTFOG. That'll get you a full year for $39.95. That's a deal that you just can't pass up. So be sure to check that out. Jerry, Bobby, CJ, everybody over there bringing in great news all the time, good conversation, everything else. You'll love it. If you haven't checked it out already, I guarantee it. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton.
Wait, one second. I got one thing for you. Don't forget CJ at Manning Passing Academy today. Yep. We also have some stuff coming on Nick Townsend today, we think, the tight end, as well as Tanook Hines, a wide receiver out of Spring to Caney. Should be a lot of recruiting news flowing today, period. Just be aware of that. I just want to put that out there before we close out. Sorry.
No, you're good. And all the more reason to like and subscribe and ring the bell and to head on over to OnTexasFootball.com. So the proof is in the pudding. All right, guys, we will be back same time, same place tomorrow, and we'll see you then.
Hook 'em.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.